American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day, and it's Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, April 5th, 2005. It's Tuesday, the classic day in which the A-Team used to be on television on KBS TV 12 in my particular part of the world, where all of us got to learn about the very first WOGs, which was, in fact, the A-Team. Everybody loves the A-Team. I love the A-Team. All WOGs love the A-Team. It's just the way it is. And, of course, the A-Team's not here, and it's not on anymore. As a matter of fact, I think Mr. T's homeless and destitute. But this is Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against corporate political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. And you can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, where I keep track of such wonderful things in my life, such as my day-to-day activities. And you can get there at sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. On top of my life, you can also follow along with the links to all the news stories which I talk about during this very program. This very program is also a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio and the Box Music Network, because we rule, everybody else drools. And soon, the ruling class of Rant Radio and Box Music Network will be containing more people, because we're going to very soon be spreading our virus out across the airwaves to take over the entire known universe, because people are hungry for the truth and they need to know unregulated media. They need to make sure that they have a source for information that is independent, and at least it's honest. Even if I'm wrong, at least I'm honest. And because of that, you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can do whatever you want with it. You can burn it. You can remix it. You can make dance albums out of it. You can do whatever you please with this particular broadcast. Get straight into some feedback here. Got a bunch here. And we got some from the WOG I know on the ground in Taiwan, which I'm really happy. I've been harping on this guy to get him and his lovely and beautiful partner out of Taiwan. And I got this note here. Dear Sean, a side note on the gamer stabbing, which, of course, he's close to the ground here. Chinese people work like tortured mules. It's a hellish existence without recreational drugs, without porn, without free speech. Gaming is the opium of today's China. It is the only place people feel like they have any power. It's really, really sad, but that's what it is. Wow, that's like totally staggering, and I feel bad for those people. But, you know, I mean, that doesn't give them the right to stab people, but I can see how if their world is just gaming and, you know, something happens in the game, yeah, the guy's going to freak out and completely lose his freaking mind, right? I mean, that's not so totally unbelievable that we couldn't understand why that would happen. If that's your world, then that's your world. Note 2, Taiwan is not a backwater hole like most of the mainland of China. Taipei is much like Tokyo, is more like Tokyo than Beijing, but the people still have no outlets. Life is work, shopping, and advertisements disguised as entertainment media. I used to find Taiwanese people to be unbelievably frustrating, but then one day I realized that they're all really just uber-Americans. Life in Taiwan is where the whole world is going. A retail prison machine a la Resident Evil. Oh my god. We make and buy our widgets with one purpose, building better weapons to protect the rich. Taiwan has good reason not to want to be China. Everything about Taiwan is American, and like it or not, America made it that way. All you have to do is open any piece of tech you have lying around and answer the question of why. To answer the question of why. America sold the Taiwanese people old weapons and empty promises in exchange for silicon and sweat. They have been hoodwinked into believing they will be protected by America, but it's just not going to happen. Note 3, yes, Sean, we are leaving Taiwan. And that's from the WOG on the ground over there. I'm very happy that you are getting out of there, and I hope that, you know, maybe if you can let us know what airport you're going to land at, we can have a welcoming party for you, because it's really, really good to get people out of a situation like that. I feel bad about the people in Taiwan. I really, really do. It's a shitty deal, but I guess if I was in charge, I'd suck back all of America, make sure that we, nail down our own country, get everything to be ship-shape and freedom, and then maybe try to, Well, if I was an American, yeah, I'd be expansionist. I would. You know, I can't say as I wouldn't be. If I was running a country, I would want it to be expansionist so that, if nothing more, to stop suffering. And people say, well, Sean, that's... No, seriously. There's a lot of countries around the world that could be taken over and we could set up, like, a better shop there. I mean, there's a lot of countries where there's sweatshop labor. I mean, you know, when you go to Thailand and you see that there's a sex trade that's out of control over there, yeah... Okay, if people can have sex with children in your country, I put it to you that your government is fucked, okay? You need to, like, do something to make it so that you don't have slavery, so you don't have a child sex trade. You got to get rid of these things. People say, well, America has those too. Well, okay, granted, sure. But let's get rid of that in America, and then let's try to eradicate it on the planet. Let's, you know, make the sex trade, child sex trade, go the way of, like, ancient diseases and stuff like that. I'd rather not have it, you know? It's just not something I can get behind. So, another piece of feedback here. Dear Sean, this is about Microsoft article from today, 040105. During the article, you expressed something along the lines of, quote, the kid only wrote a few lines of code. How could he even cost millions of dollars to a website that provides a free service? Well, I can't say, end quote. Well, I can't say what it cost Microsoft, but I'm working as a tech support rep for a dial-up ISP, and I can say that these virus cost us and our customers quite a few hours of work. When the virus such as Blaster or Sassworm hit, we get tons of calls into our call center and help people out to fix things. Just from our customers alone, we saw calls for this virus for months after it hit. I can only imagine what most other ISPs, as well as companies such as Dell and other computer help desk type business. I also had tons of time spent helping users fix their computers. I have no idea if all this time equals up to the amount that Microsoft wanted to charge the guy. But I don't know how much money it actually costs Microsoft. I guess the long-winded point is I'm trying to make is that virus writers such as these guys do cost time, people time and money. And that's from Malkav Omega, and I couldn't... that's from Malkav Omega, sorry. And I couldn't agree more. I fucking hate virus writers. There's nothing more scummy on this planet. Well, yes, there is. There's a lot more scummy on this planet. But, I mean, virus writers are really, you know, kind of... bottom bucket feeders, really. Now, it all depends on the virus, too, I would have to say. If it's a virus that, you know, doesn't really do any damage and is just inconveniencing, people go, oh, it cost us a lot of money. Well, it didn't really cost you money. What it prevented you from doing was making money. And that's not the same thing. He didn't take anything from you other than your computer's operation. Now, does this condone that activity? Do I think that's a good thing to do? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't condone virus writing at all. I think it's stupid, silly, and ignorant. But what I'm saying here is that, first of all, Microsoft wanted to have him, you know, pay $500,000 in fines. Well, I think that you should probably get some of that money. I don't think Microsoft should get all of that money, which, of course, they've reneged. They've said that he doesn't have to, or he doesn't. They forgave it. They didn't renege it. They forgave the debt. They said, you know what? You don't have to pay us, and that's fine. But realistically, maybe sometimes, is it such a bad thing? Just like sometimes the power goes out and stuff like that. These virus writers, I mean, they kept you in a job. They provide a lot of work. These virus, like whenever a virus hits the scene, the antivirus guys, they make money. So there's a lot of economy that is created by virus writers. Not to condone it, but I would wonder how much, action work came from this particular incident. So, you know, what if you don't think you should be fined and blah, 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 what should we do with these virus writers? Well, kick them off the web. Kick him off the web. Cut off, I'm sure he's got internet access off his house. You know, ground the son of a gun. You know, make him, cut him off the web for a couple of years. And that'll sort him out. You know what? If you can't play nice, you're going to get kicked out of the bar. So you're not playing nice, we're going to kick you out of the bar for, I don't know, a year or so. And people say, well, you know, we can get around that. Well, you enforce it as best you can and make his life awkward. And if he does it again, you make it more awkward and more awkward and more awkward until the dude can't even use a toaster. You know, if you keep using tech to destroy things or to inconvenience other people, people are going to want to take away the stuff that you have. Just sort of my own personal guideline. Now, let's get on to sort yourself out. Dear Sean, right now I'm working at a dead-end job for McDonald's. I got in trouble with some friends, and we all got arrested from stealing from Walmart. Oh, no. And now I owe my parents $1,700 out of $3,500 in fees and stuff from a lawyer and Walmart fees. According to my friends I talked to, I've just ruined my chance for military service and survival and militant life. It's the only thing I'm good at, but I barely pull in $150 in 1 week. And now, according to everyone, all my plans went to shit for the future. So I'm asking you for your advice, what you would do in my shoes. And don't hold back. Give me the truth. There's only you can, Sean. Uncut and non-censored. No problem, pal. First of all, first of all, you know, a lot of people be like, well, I was dumb. Well, you know what? Shit happens. All right. So right off the top, first of all, you don't have good data. You're saying that your friends who also got busted at Walmart and did a dumbass stupid thing, do not trust them, for they know not the truth. So what you want to do is if you decide that you want to join the army during a time of war, I have a hard time believing that recruiters would turn you away for shoplifting simply because, you know, you made a bad mistake. I don't know how old you are. I'm going to assume you're young. Okay, I'm going to assume that you're young. Maybe sub 22. Now, you mean to tell me that if you're under the age of 22 or even under the age of 25 and you walk into a recruiting center and say, you know what, guys, I was, you know, made a mistake a while ago. I got arrested, but it was a dumb thing I did. I got roped in with a bunch of friends. I want to join the army. I want to try to make up for what I've done here. You know, is there some way you guys can get me so I can go out there? You know, claim whatever you want. Claim you found Jesus, whatever. Okay, but you've turned a new leaf and you want to go out and do the right thing and serve your country rather than being a parasite, do it. I mean, you got a guy here who stole some money and now he wants to go serve his country. So I can't really see the recruiters having a problem with that when they've just upped the minimum or the maximum recruitment age from 35 to 40. So if you are keen to join the army, I'm here to tell you, I highly doubt that you are going to be unable to join the army. Now, from what it sounds like to me, it sounds like you're going nowhere fast. You got a McDonald's job. You don't really like it. You looks like you're hanging out with losers. I would say that maybe the army might be a role for you. Maybe there's a really good chance you could get blown in half. There's a really good chance you could get shot and killed. There's a really good chance you might come home with a head full of snakes and have to go on some kind of major medication for a while. Okay, this is all horrible things. But if those are risks that you're willing to take, then yeah, go down and talk to your recruiter. Now, if you want to try something else, you know, and you want to get out and travel and do some good and blah, 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 and you can't afford school, maybe there's a few Peace Corps organizations and stuff like that you could check into. But again, you know, you got that criminal record now, so that's a bit of a problem. So I would check. For sure. Whenever, before you make a decision like this, but you said quite clearly in this email here, according to my friends I've talked to, I've just ruined my chance for military service. Well, your friends don't know shit. So maybe your friends are going, I don't want my buddy to get blown away in some war, so they're lying to you. Maybe they don't know. Maybe the rules have changed. But I'm very, very certain that you went down to talk to your recruiter, he would jump through any number of hoops to get you out in the desert to get shot in the face somehow. You can bank on that. Now, if that's what you want to do, it sounds like you do. Okay, I think long and hard about it, and I definitely recommend you talk to 3 different vets who've come back. Okay, and I don't mean like World War II vets. I mean like current vets. So you join a trade that doesn't get you on frontline action. You join a trade that you choose, and then go from there. That would be my own personal advice to you if that is what you're asking me at this time. Now, a lot of people say, Sean, you're advising this kid to join the army. Well, what are his options? You know, he's got to push with the cock he's got. He doesn't really have much he's got going for him. He's working at McDonald's, hates his life. He's got a criminal record. And especially in today's, you know, surveillance nation, what the hell is he going to do? So if he does a tour, gets a bit of cash, maybe he can make a go of it. Maybe he can't. But you want to know what I think? If you want to join the army, buddy, I guarantee you, you get down to the recruiter, he will sort you out. Now, on to the news. It looks like the passport chip, this is the RFID chip they're going to slap inside of passports, is coming under fire. Business travel groups, security experts, and privacy advocates are looking to derail a government plan to insert remotely readable chips in American passports, calling the chips homing devices for high-tech muggers, identity thieves, and even terrorists, which is true. I mean, you know, oh, this guy's an American, which means he's got American money, which means let's hit him. But the U.S. State Department, which plans to start issuing the new passports to citizens later this year, says its critics are overstating the risks. Oh, yeah. Officials say the chips will cut down on passport forgery, improve security, and speed up border crossings. Yet they still broadcast the fact you're an American and have American money and can be kidnapped because a terrorist could just walk around with an RFID scanner and go, oh, there's one. Got him. Let's go grab him. The State Department is also adding technical features to prevent radio frequency identification devices, or RFID chips, in new passports from being skimmed by unauthorized readers, according to Frank Moss, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Passport Services in the State Department. Now, it's adding technical features to prevent radio frequency identification devices from being skimmed. Now, I'd wonder what he'd want to do there. I suppose what could he do is he could encrypt it You'd have to hit it with a certain frequency, but I mean, the whole point is you're going to need to hit it with a frequency because it's not powered. So you'd have to hit it with a frequency and it would bounce back either an encrypted signal. That would be the only thing I could think of. We will not issue passports to the American public without mitigating the risk of skimming, Moss said, calling the issue both technical and political problem. I would call it a security problem myself, because if people can skim and get all this data off of you and then they can, you know, mug you and, you know, cut your throat and throw you in the desert somewhere, that would really suck. The 64 kilobit chips will include the information from the photo page of the passport, including name, date of birth, and digitized form of passport picture. The chips include enough space so that a fingerprint or iris print, they say an iris print, but it would actually be an iris scan, can be added later. I don't really care for this particular piece of tech because of the problem I've just stated. You could drive around, skim, go bing, oh, this guy's got an RFID passport, and oh, look, America's got the only RFID passports in the world. So what does that mean? It doesn't matter if we can't read it. All we got to do is just see that it's bouncing something back, and we go, American. So yeah, that's a problem. And here's a shit sandwich made in Taiwan, which is yet another reason why I'm kind of pleased that, you know, our boy is getting out of there. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and her amazing teeth visit to China has come to a close. The March 26 rally in Taiwan has now taken center stage. People in Taiwan have been voicing their condemnation of China and expressing their displeasure to the world. So they're complaining a lot. They have no method of what? Authority. And their authority is what? Violence. Force. Force is the supreme authority from which all other authority is derived. So Taiwan does not have the force to take on China, so they're crying about it, and there's not a goddamn thing they can do because they're not going to get supported by anyone. The Taiwanese were concerned about Rice's visit to China, since only the U.S. democratic hegemony can contain China's totalitarian hegemony. Therefore, weaker and smaller countries alike tend to ask U.S. for help and expect it to bring about justice. Good luck, buddy. Not going to happen. Supported by the U.S., Kuwait upheld its independent sovereignty when it was invaded by Iraq. No, that was over oil. If the Kuwaiti monarchy was given military protection by the U.S., then Taiwan, as a democracy, has even more reason to expect U.S. support. No, because it's not over that, it's over oil. Regrettably, although Taiwan did all it could to cooperate with the U.S. on the definition of the status quo in the Taiwan Strait, while enduring constant humiliation from China, China still ignored the status quo and enacted its anti-secession law, unilaterally altering the status quo. So, what this means is, Taiwan's like, hey, you're with us, right? You're with us, right? It's not going to be bad, right? Everything's going to be cool, right? Because we're all down like that, and the United States is like, whatever, dude, we're not going to help you. You get to die. In view of its own interests, the U.S. could only tactically acknowledge the altered status quo. Yeah, China's going to take you over. Rice's visit effectively demonstrated this acceptance. The question is whether China will be satisfied with the new status quo, or will it take further actions to change it further? The answer is obviously positive, in that China's ultimate goal is to annex Taiwan. Therefore, the Taiwanese people want to know to what extent China can be allowed to erode the status quo before the U.S. will step in. And the answer is, the U.S. is not going to step in. In view of the fact the U.S. is unlikely to be totally protective of Taiwan's sovereignty and security, Taiwan has come up with something to protect itself. And things are stepping up over there, guys. Things are stepping up over there. Get the hell out of Taiwan. If you're in Taiwan right now, get the fuck out of there. Okay, because it's going to go to war, and it's going to go to war really, really bad. And we're talking about a nation that essentially doesn't want to be taken over. So, it seems like I don't think Taiwan can stand against China. So, people say, well, why would you bail out on a country that you love, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to die. Pick your fights. If there's no chance of you winning, you live to fight another day. Okay? Just my own personal guideline. Now, these people, getting past the Taiwanese thing, I'm now going to talk about something that just makes me absolutely batshit bonkers insane. And this is the Christian creationists teaching their shit in school. All right? Now, just let me get through this article here. Evolution, bitch! A teachers' union has said it is alarmed by an increase in lessons which teach in school that Adam and Eve was the literal truth rather than a fable which science believes it to be, which of course it is. The rising creationism is not just an American phenomenon. For many British people, belief in a six-day creation seems to be one of those incomprehensibly American quirks, like beef jerky and pledging allegiance to the flag. But a large growing number of British Christians are defying Darwinist orthodoxy in favor of creationism, the belief that Adam and Eve are the mother and father of all humanity. I give you different people of different color. Thanks for the evidence. Sorry, Adam and Eve are fired. They are less outspoken than in the U.S., where a new $25 million museum of creationism is being built in Kentucky, but they quietly number in hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions in England. Dr. Monty White tours churches throughout the U.K. Why would you tour a church there? Shit pump, you're preaching to the choir, teaching the biblical view of what the universe is only about 6,000 years old. Yeah, I've got Stephen Hawking here with his brain, and he's going to take you outside and beat the living shit out of you. People believe in evolution because they choose to do so. There's not a shred of real evidence for evolution. For people believe in evolution because they choose to. This was as Dr. Monty White says. There's not a shred of real evidence for evolution of life on Earth. Yeah. Although he argues his case scientifically, it is fundamentally a religious commitment and a matter of faith in the Bible. Evolution. Evolution is not compatible with Christianity, he insists. I totally concur, and this is why you got to get rid of this mud hut, backwater, you know, desert religion of Christianity, and we got to move forwards in time and space and work on a faith-based thing that if there is something greater, and it is something we don't understand, we will never... Like, here's Sean's mathematics... Oh, let me get through this. Evolution is not compatible with Christianity. True, he insists. Genesis tells us that death only came into the world because of Adam's sin. There was no death before then, and you can't have evolution without death. Well, that's wonderful circular logic. Let's keep going there, Adam, buddy. So that means that all women are inferior, too, because it was actually, you know, Eve, the stupid bitch, got sucked in by the snake, and she's the one who ate the apple, and then she gives it to Adam. She's like, here you go, eat this apple. He's like, what? Oh, all right. He mouths down on the apple, and the two of them get punted out of the garden. Well, that's according to the scrolls they got. Never mind the scrolls that weren't allowed to come in there. Never mind all the books and the hidden texts that they've sort of omitted. You know, the Bible they got is just, it was all put together. I think it was the Council of Nicaea put that Bible together, and they go, oh, okay, well, that's the Bible. What about all the shit you omitted? Oh, well, whatever, we don't need that. Okay, well, dude, there is a creationist museum in Portsmouth called the Genesis Expo, run by a creation science movement. Children can play with Boris the dinosaur and learn why evolution is scientifically possible. But where does Boris and his fellow dinosaurs fit into the evolutionist or to the creationist worldview? Many were killed off in Noah's flood. Noah's flood killed the dinosaurs and became fossils. Other hung around to scare our ancestors who called them dragons. Bill Cooper, a council member of CSM, argues that the 8th century poem Beowulf records a genuine encounter with a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Okay. Now, how do I rip this story to absolute fucking shreds? Let me count the ways. First of all, I could get into... It's so tempting to get sucked into the religious fight, but I'm going to go about this a different way. I have, after much thought, come up with Sean's mathematical proof of the error of the biblical and all-world religion. Okay, here's Sean's mathematical proof on how the Jews and the Arabs and the Muslims and the Christians and all these guys are fucked. Okay, here's my view. And I am a spiritual person. Don't think I'm not. Okay, now hear me out. If there is some God consciousness, higher power figure, okay, if that exists, if it is truly, you know, all powerful and a God type figure, then it is infinite. Okay, this is pretty basic stuff. Even the Christians would say, and Muhammad and Allah and all these dudes would say, that their God, whoever they choose it to be, is infinitely powered, because otherwise there's things above God and they won't go for it. So, of course, this God is infinitely powered. Now, in order to be infinitely powered, correct me if I'm wrong, all you math guys out there, but that would mean then that you have to be, in essence, yourself infinite, because it means there's never ending. It's always expanding, right? So if God, however you choose to define him, higher force, faith, force, power, consciousness, whatever, if that God is infinite, right, then we, I don't care how smart you are, even Einstein, Stephen Hawking, Michael Akaku, I don't care who you are, okay, your brain is finite. Even though it may be a big brain on Brad, it is still finite. You can only conceive, imagine, you know, hold on to so much data in your head at any one moment in time. So based upon that, since your brain is finite and God is infinite, that means that you will never be able to understand even the smallest part of God. Okay? Not even the smallest part, because even the smallest part would be infinite. Therefore, it is entirely possible that every single one of these ass-backward mud hut religions that we got running around the world, killing people, blowing shit up, praying to rocks, whatever, okay, whatever these guys are doing, they don't have, they could all be right, and they're all just seeing different parts of the same elephant, you know? Like, maybe we should just get past all this dogma, all this religion that says, oh, you have to do it this way, and you have to turn three times before you drink the teacup, whatever. Get past that and start looking at the ideals and the concepts of a higher power and faith and loving your neighbor and working with ideals. You know, let's try that, because according to the math that I got here, since God, however you choose to define him, is infinite, you cannot define him, and you definitely cannot define him with an English him, her, he, she, it, with an English language, which is so incredibly limited. Furthermore, we're talking about people who, you know, these are the same kind of guys who could barely make a fire, and they're going to now write down a book that explains to me the nature of the fucking universe? I don't think so. Now, don't get me wrong, I like Christians. I'll pray with anybody. I'll pray with the Muslims. I'll pray with the Jews. I'll do the put on the toque and put on the dress and spin around in circles with the Russian guys. That's fine. Don't care. Cool. Into meditation. Like Qigong. Think the whole thing's great, but let's cut the shit. Things have gotten a little bit too serious for us to be sitting around here hoping that some higher godlike power is going to sweep down and save our ass. We got to save ourselves, guys. And I'm not into end times or Armageddon prophecy or any of that bullshit. We've got to look after ourselves. Because if God was going to save some people, he should have saved some people at that last tsunami. Where the fuck has he been for the last little while? You're a super great God. Well, you know, in scripture they say, you know what, cut the shit, Jack. I don't believe it. I believe there is some higher power. Yes, there are miracles. There's all sorts of faith healing. Yes, prayer works. Yes, there are things out there that are released in spiritualism and the paranormal that do exist. Yes, granted, agreed. Yes, there is the power of good. But just because that exists does not mean that these mud hut religions are, in fact, correct. We have to get past that, start looking to the future, and work with what we have, not what we think we should have. Just my own personal guideline on that particular front. Now, no one has to die. All I want is the holoscreen, okay? This new holoscreen is a sexy piece of tech. You want to talk about tech? And this link here is where you can buy the goddamn thing. It's like 1,600 pounds, I think. Developed by Boffins from the labs at Polo Flare in Nevada, the holoscreen is set to revolutionize home and office computing. Oh, the unit plugs straight into USB port. Just set the slimline transmission unit on your desktop in place of your huge, clunky normal screen and sit back in disbelief. It projects 16 million color RGB linear light stream onto a wafer-thin field of vibrating dust particles that are naturally occurring in the air. Light refracting from these free radical particles creates a two-dimensional hologram of your computer screen. It's so out there, science fiction, you can almost hear Jean-Luc Picard murmuring, "Make it so," in the background. You know what I would like? I would like it if these writers were actually geeks. You can even adjust the transparency of the screen. So set it to solid view or reduce the transparency to see what's going on in the other side of the screen. It does this by utilizing random atmospheric analytic software that scans the invisible micro dust field and altering the density of activated dust particles. Not only does it massively reduce eye strain and classic beta ray fatigue, but the footprint of the unit is so small you'll have a virtually clear desk. Now that is some hot shit. Now granted, it's only a two-dimensional display. It is only a two-dimensional display. If that was a three-dimensional, like, holographic display, I'd be like, wow, that's some sexy shit. But apparently, it is not. So, granted, though, hey, I'll take it if anyone wants to send me one up this way for the Good Newsreel Studio. Because, after all, my tech is dying. I'm currently looking at a Samtron 14-inch, which I've hooked up to my laptop, which is currently on its last legs. Now, when Beck said, you remember Beck? Beck was that cool guy who got up on the... I really like Beck, and this is really a sad story. I feel really bad about this, but Beck got up and he got an award one time, People's Choice Award, for Best New Artist. And I remember he got up on stage and he said, "I'd like to accept this award for Best New Artist." And he paused for a minute and he said, whatever that means, which is really cool because, I mean, obviously there's no such thing as a new artist. There's just artists, right? Which is kind of an interesting idea. But it seems that when he was singing that song, I Got a Devil's Haircut in My Mind, he wasn't kidding. Because Beck, I'm sad to report, has been infected. Rocker Beck has hit out against critics of his Scientology faith. Didn't know Beck was a Scientologist. Claiming that people don't see the good the controversial religion does around the world. No, we see the good it does around the world. It takes people who are drug addicts and mentally deranged and then feeds them a cult belief doctrine so that they can rape them of money. The Where It's At singer, who grew up around Scientology, is left amazed at the amount of bad press the Scientology church gets, especially considering how successful its drug treatment programs are. Well, that's because you need to look at why everyone says it's bad, Beck. Beck, one of the many celebrity Scientologist practitioners, including John Travolta and Tom Cruise, and that really fat broad, what's her name, Kirstie Alley. You know what? I shouldn't rip on Kirstie Alley for being fat. I shouldn't do that. That's really mean. You know what? Because I like Kirstie Alley. For that matter, I like John Travolta and Tom Cruise, and I like Beck. I just don't particularly care for the fact that they've been infected. You know, if these guys, if I got on a show with John Travolta, I would say to him and say, you know, John, you know what? I will offer you a religion of choice that will not rape you of your money and destroy your mind, okay? You want to believe in something, John? That's great. That's good, man. No problem. I like you, John. I think you're the shit. I like you, Tom. I like Top Gun. I think you're cool. Like Mission Impossible. I think you're cool. Beck, I think you're all cool. Tell you what, guys. Let's get you out of this brainwashing religion you're in, and we will go to a church of choice. I will have Jews, Muslims, and Christians on standby, baby. And they'll dip you in water, they'll sprinkle some incense on you, they'll touch your forehead, anoint you with the holy blood or whatever, and you will be saved! And you'll be out of this Scientology gig. I just, out of all the craziness in the world, I cannot believe that these people, these conscious, sentient, intelligent people, just buy into this bullshit. That's just as amazing to me. This is what Beck says. It's just amazing to me because the reality of it is people are working hard to make a difference in a cynical world. Dude, it's not cynical. It's honest. Okay, don't piss on my back and tell me it's raining. And just because the power of belief and smiling as you trudge on towards the edge of the cliff, it's not going to save your ass. The drug rehabilitation programs are of the highest success rate of any in the world. Really? I'd like to get some data on that. If you actually look at the things that have come out of it, it kind of blows away this kind of criticism. Oh, Scientology has reinforced certain things that were really constructive and good. Things that were important to me in my terms of family, friends, being creatively awake and pushing forward with music. Okay, well, that's cool. That's great. But just because the Nazis made the trains run on time doesn't justify the entire fascism thing. Okay, you got to look at the pros and the cons of this quote-unquote religion, which I hate calling it a religion because it's really not. It's a dangerous cult. Religions to me are belief structures, you know, from ancient times. The concept of a new religion is dumb. Okay, it's basically just stupid because unless it's a religion that is based, that is, you know, at least stands up to theory of science and fact, then what good is it really? Because if it's based on belief, well, if it's based on belief, you have to have fact to back it, don't you? I mean, could get me wrong, or at least not be able to prove it wrong. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong here. And it seems that the Spam King, has been assassinated. Yes, I'm sure that there's a lot of people upset that the net self-declared Spam King, is seeking bankruptcy protection. Oh, poor Spam King. My brother will be very upset with you. Scott Richter, the man behind the optinrealbig.com and billions of junk mail messages, said lawsuits had forced the company into Chapter 11. Oh, OptinRealBig was fighting several legal battles, most notably against Microsoft, which is pushing for millions of dollars in damages. The company said filing for Chapter 11 would try to help it resolve its legal problems, but still keep trading. Listed as the third biggest spammer in the world by junk mail watchdog SpamHouse, OptinRealBig was sued December 2003 for sending mail messages that violated anti-spam laws. Well, you broke the law, so I guess you got shot. The lawsuit was brought by Microsoft and New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer, who alleged that Mr. Richter and his accomplice sent billions of spam messages through 514 compromised net addresses in 35 countries. According to Microsoft, the messages were sent via net addresses owned by the Kuwait Ministries of Communication and Finance, several Korean schools, the Seoul Municipal Borami Hospital and the Virginia Community College System. Mr. Richter settled the Attorney General case in July 2004, but the legal fight with Microsoft is continuing. I would not bank that that guy's going to survive, because if I was going to go toe-to-toe with Microsoft, you can bank it wouldn't be in court. And I got a Minuteman update for you. This is on that thing that's going on in Arizona right now. On Wednesday, last Wednesday now, the Department of Homeland Security said it would add 534 Border Patrol agents, an increase of more than 20%, doubling the air surveillance along the Arizona border. Well, that's a start. That's a start, okay? Good start. That's good. But you're going to need more, because you got 82-year-old men slapping on guns to go down and deal with this. Although the federal authorities said citizen volunteers had nothing to do with the new show of force, they say the border had become increasingly dangerous and chaotic, and the threat to national security. About 1,600 people a day try to cross the Mexican border into Arizona. We have to increase our boots on the ground, and we will gain operational control of the weakest part of our border in Mexico, Robert C. Boner, the United States Customs and Border Protection Commissioner, said at a Tucson press conference. More than half of the 1.1 million people who were caught trying to cross the Mexican border last year were apprehended in southern Arizona. Wow. A rugged, sun-seared stretch of mountain and open desert that has become a gauntlet for human and drug smugglers, and a focal point of complaints about broken boundaries. The citizen volunteers say they will track and report smugglers to the Border Patrol. They say they are not vigilantes and will try to enforce strict no-contact rule in approaching Mexicans. Well, that'll really work until MS-12 gets a hold of you and cuts you up. Now, this is from the New York Times. So they're not really even talking about MS-12 and the fact that there is this 20,000-man in America alone gang that is heavily armed and trying to run arms and drugs into the country. This is a problem. This calls for Chenoweth fast attack vehicles. Thank you very much. People are going to set up their lawn chairs, put on some sunscreen, and start looking for suspicious activity. Mr. Simcox said in an interview, "We're doing the job President Bush refuses to do." Now, that's nice that this particular puppy poo New York Times piece is playing it down, but people are slapping on guns and they're going out there. And this MS-12 guys, AK-47s, because they're an El Salvador drug-running gang, okay? And you're going to see a lot of nice ranchers get shot up by hardened guerrillas, okay? Now, how many ranchers have to die before they just say, fuck it, and send in the Rangers, okay? Because they need to put an end to this. Hell, if they're looking for volunteers, let's put the vets to work. Let's defuse the vets by putting them on the border. Have them, you know, shake out their head space and timing. You know, because they come home from the war, they shouldn't probably be dropped right back into the Burger King. So I'm just thinking that perhaps they could defrag protecting the border. Just, you know, I don't know. They do that with Britain. They send their guys over to Wainwright in Canada to defrag after they get out of Ireland. So what the hell? I don't know. And it seems that in England, privacy activists are getting serious, too. This is the next step. You know, people are getting worried about their privacy, and of course, you know, no one's doing anything, so of course, it's going to lead to direct action. They're not just going to sit there and take it, guys. Privacy activists are getting serious. Privacy activists need to change tactics to adapt to changing public attitudes, a leading campaigner said Thursday. Simon Davies, the director of Privacy International, said that campaigners need to win the argument by force of evidence rather than assuming that people naturally guard their privacy against government encroachment. An assumption, he said, is no longer valid. If logic and common sense fail to shift public policy, then well-placed technicians might be prepared to sabotage invasive projects. That's some dangerous terrorist talk there, Chief. You're going to get yourself arrested. Davis predicted. He predicted. In order, he predicted it. He said government moves to systematically profile and monitor its citizens have inflamed techies. Even though the public at large remains indifferent, government surveillance efforts predate the 9/11 terrorist attack and include many projects such as Britain ID card scheme of questionable utility. Davies used to believe the need to guard personal privacy against invasion was self-evident truth, but public willingness to accept ubiquitous CCTV cameras, coverage, ID cards, and similar projects show most people no longer really care about privacy. Even countries such as the Netherlands, which saw mass protests against something as low-key as government census 20 years ago. Attitudes have changed. David told delegates during a keynote at the Black Hat Security Conference in Amsterdam on Thursday, people are prepared to hand over their private information in return for the promises of a better and safer world. Trading liberty for security, and you will have neither, Davis said. We're seeing the most invasive systems in the world history with practically no reaction. And this is due to what? This is due to television and the brainwashing of television. And yet another version of your privacy is being attacked. Yes, when Flash attacks. This is one of the reasons why you might want to think about deleting Macromedia Flash off of your unit. United Virtualities is offering online marketers and publishers technology that attempts to undermine the growing trend among consumers to delete cookies planted in their computers. Now, I love the way they wrote that. The growing trend among consumers to delete cookies planted on their computers. That's because consumers are looking after their privacy. So it's a war, guys. The New York company on Thursday unveiled what it calls PI, or Persistent Identification Element, a technology that is uploaded to a browser and restores deleted cookies. In addition, PI, which can't easily be removed, can also act as a cookie backup since it contains the same information. This, to me, looks a lot like a virus. Cookies are small files often uploaded to people's computers as they visit websites run by retailers, entertainment companies, newspapers, and other businesses, core politicals. The text files contain information that is used to track visitors' behavior or to offer visitors products or services based on information gathered during previous visits, a process called personalization. I call it thieving of information. In addition, cookie gathering information is often pivotal for advertising campaigns and email marketing. Okay, I don't want it. Thanks. I don't want it. And I don't want you to force me to do it either. According to Jupiter Research, a division of Jupiter Media Corp, 58% of internet users have deleted the tiny files. Woohoo! We're winning. Essentially making consumers anonymous during site visits. Oh my God. In addition, 39% of consumers are deleting cookies from their primary computer monthly. Hooray! United Virtualities PI helps combat. United Virtualities PI helps combat this consumer behavior by leveraging a feature in Flash MX called Local Shared Objects. Now, if this is not black ice, I don't know what is. Flash MX is a Macromedia Incorporated application for developing multimedia web content, user interfaces, and web applications. The technology runs on a Flash player, and the company says it's developed on 98% of internet-capable computers. The Flash player is deployed on 98% of internet-capable computers. So, we need to make sure we get some kind of a patch to take this out. When a consumer goes to a PI-enabled website, the visitor's browser is tagged with a Flash object that contains a unique identification similar to the text found in traditional cookie. In this way, PI acts as a cookie backup and can also restore the original cookie when the consumer revisits the site. While consumers have learned to delete cookies, most are unaware of shared objects and don't know how to disable them. So, I mean, Jesus Christ, does anybody else see the glaring ethical problems with this? Mookie Tannenbaum, founder and chief executive of United Virtualities, said the company is trying to help consumers by preventing them from deleting cookies that help website operators deliver better services. Sorry, Tannenbaum, I'm not buying your bullshit. What you're doing is you're selling black ice to core politicals in order to, you know, kind of nail us down. So you get the big fuck you. The user is not proficient enough in technology to know if the cookie is good or bad or how it works. You're too stupid to know, so we're just going to put them all in there. This is what Tannenbaum said. I would like to know if I could get a daily hack which helps me to destroy Mr. Tannenbaum's technology, if you please. There's some homework for you. Now, we got some more file sharing FUD that's been exposed. Check this out. For the last few years, the recording industry has experienced drops in CD sales and blamed it all on file sharing. All of it. It's all file sharing. They did not blame the recession, which conveniently coincided with the sale drop. They did not blame DVD, which held no floor space in record stores when Napster first appeared in 1999, but now accounts for 50%, as in half, of all floor space in every record store in the nation. Another interesting bit of timing. They did not blame a number of other factors that may have accounted for this drop. That's okay. The movie industry also blames file sharing for lost sales, and they never experienced a loss, setting yet another box office record this year. Now the recording industry is reporting a gain. According to Record Industry Association of America, the number of CDs shipped domestically from record companies to retail distributors channels rose. It rose 5.3%, a 2.7% increase in value in 2004 compared to the previous year. At the same time, as CD shipments jumped, file trading became more popular. According to Big Champagne, the number of U.S. monthly average simultaneous file sharers in January 2004 was 3,528,419. by November of 2004, the number was 5,445,200, almost 2 million simultaneous users more. If CD sales are up and file sharing is dramatically up, and according to the RIA, there's a direct correlation between file sharing activity and CD sales, then the answer is simple. File sharing sells CDs. Does anybody else kind of clue in on this? If you keep, like, this is the number one word of mouth advertising thing in the world. They can't possibly fathom. They can't possibly fathom that word of mouth actually sells CDs. I can't imagine why that is. I don't know why they can't grasp it. I don't know why they can't sit back and just, you know, realize that, hey, you know what? There's more music circulating. These people like the music. They want the original album, right? Because when you buy the original album, you get the highest quality available of that tune, so you can rip it however you want. You can put it in your music media, because people will continue to buy the music, you paranoid bunch of psychos. Obviously, your own data tells you that we're buying CDs. The file sharing goes up. Your sales go up, even though you've got half the space for music in your record stores. Does anybody else see into this? Come on now. Do a check. Do a check. Has your online ordering gone up or down since file sharing hit the market? I'll bank it's gone through the roof, because people hear about this music they never would have heard, that's imported albums, what have you. So what do? They order the albums. Why don't we hear anything about the ordering specs? About the ordering of CDs, the stuff they don't stock. Because a lot of us out there, a lot of WOGs out there, they like music that isn't stock. They like imported albums. But we don't hear anything about that, do we? No. We don't hear how much the import prices, how much more import albums are coming into the country, and how much more they're making as a percentage on these albums. You never hear about that. I'd like to know what those numbers are. Now, we're on today's Daily Hack. And today's Daily Hack, I'm a little bit biased towards, because today is day one of my very own Master Cleanser Fast. It's springtime, time for the spring cleaning, and that means mind, body, and spirit. And for me, I do this by the Master Cleanser Fast, and I think everybody should do this at least twice a year. Maybe you don't have to do it for all 10 days, because according to the Master Cleanser chart, you have to do it for a minimum of 10 days. I think that the minimum should be 3 days, personally, because it's pretty hardcore. It's a pretty hardcore fast. First time I did it for 5 days. Second time I did it for 8 days. And you get a little bit better every time you try it. So, you know, give it a go. See what you can do if you want to try this. And believe you me, when you think about it, realistically, no one pays attention to what we put in our body. How many toxins do we take into our body every day? Even the people who are rabid meat eaters. Okay, and we drink the pop, and we do whatever, blah, blah, blah. We don't think about how much toxins actually go into our body. We don't clean them. Obesity is running rampant. There's all these diseases that are brought about by processed food. So is it an entirely bad idea to think about cleaning out your body? What if you only ate psycho-healthy food? What do you suppose your body would do? Your body would take the food and heal yourself. This is really basic logic, you know, kind of stuff. So today's Daily Hack is the Master Cleanser Fast. And this is from the page that I've cited here, and then you can get a booklet. This is an online booklet. The guy made some changes. I go with the original one that was published in 1940. But at last, the basic cause of disease is no longer a mystery. The basic cause is the habits of improper diet, inadequate exercise, and negative mental attitudes, and lack of spiritual attunement, which combine to produce toxic conditions and malfunction in our bodies. Now, if you don't agree with all of that, you're going to agree with some of it. The Master Cleanser has been tested and approved since 1940. That's a long time, guys. That's more than 60 years of research on this sucker. All around the world, as the most successful of any cleansing program of its type, according to Stanley Burroughs. Now, Stanley Burroughs was the dude who wrote this. He originally made the fast to combat people with stomach problems. Nothing can compare with his positive approach towards perfection and cleansing of the healing field. Nothing compare with its rapidity and completeness. It is superior in every way in reducing and conditioning diet. As the originator of this superior diet, this is quoted from Stanley Burroughs, I humbly and yet proudly offer it to you, confident that you will receive a vigorous good health, from its use. Now, I've done this twice. I swear by it. And you might want to give it a try yourself. But granted, you've got now a couple things you got to do. One, you got to do it properly. You've got to follow exactly what it says. And more than anything else, you have to break it properly. Don't break down and go, fuck it, I'm going to go have a burger. No, 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 no. And I also recommend that you put in some Acidophilus bifidus when you break the fast so that your stomach bacteria gets back up as well, especially if you're doing the salt water cleanse, which involves you drinking a quart of salt water and taking a nasty shit for 4 hours, which, again, I won't get into that. So that's all I've got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive in this crazy world we live in. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. Those people are Forleet, Dave, the Great Ghost, Drake, Jesse, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melican, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Steve, Steve again, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, Art, Darmu, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, and Alan. Thank you so much, guys, for keeping me on the air. You have no idea how much this does for me. And the new subscribers this month. These guys are just hot. Druid Y, Simru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. Thank you so much for subscribing. It helps me more than you could possibly know, and I guess you, in essence, are helping the world to keep it a freer place. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab to have a bit of say in what's going to happen in the coming days. Special thanks to some hard netrunners who got me the data I can get to you. McCavity, Rainstreak, The Boone, Muttley, No Deal, Listful, Tofi, Dead Code, Mythos, Tech Freak, No Deal, and Mookie. Thank you so much. And my email box just keeps filling up. It's great. No digital baptisms today, but, you know, if you'd like to be baptized, let me know. I'll set you up. And not to forget, Nauticon is coming up this weekend, and I just shot some video for that. So if the Nauticon guys are listening, don't worry. We got your promos done. Of course, all free, all for you. And thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If you have to have access to sensitive information or you have any other pertinent stories, please, please look for them. And when you find them, email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, pick up the compilation album Septic V, which I think is Septic 5, which is the fifth one in a series. It's very, very cool. Great cross-section of industrial music from all over the place. And I'm going to leave you now with an appropriate little jingle that No Delete sent me. And this one, I just love this. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
Everybody's worried about the atomic bomb, but nobody's worried about the day my Lord will come, when he'll hit
great God Almighty
like an atom bomb. When he comes.
In 1945, the atom bomb became alive. In 1949, the USA got very wise. They found a country across the line had an atom bomb of the very same kind. The people got worried all over the land, just like folks got in Japan.
So I say,
everybody's worried,
yeah,
about the atomic bomb. But nobody's worried,
no,
about the day my Lord will come, when he'll hit
great God Almighty
like an atom bomb. When he comes,
good Lord,
when he comes. Everybody's worried about the atomic bomb, but nobody's worried about the day my Lord will come, when he'll hit
great
like an atom bomb. When he comes.
But God told Elijah he would send down fire from on high. He told the brother Noah by the rainbow sign, there'd be no water but fire in the sky. Now don't get worried, just bear in mind, seek King Jesus and you shall find peace, happiness, and joy divine, with my Jesus in your mind.
So I say,
everybody's worried,
yeah,
about the atomic bomb, but nobody
everybody's worried.
No.
About the day my Lord will come, when he'll hit
great God Almighty
like an atom bomb. When he comes,
great God,
when he comes. Today my Lord will come, when he'll hit
great God Almighty
like an atom bomb. When he comes,